Welcome to Roots Pod, an audio production of Roots Blog and member of the Rootscast Broadcast Network, back for a second season. Essentially, this is our last episode before the new season for the Oakland Roots. They face San Antonio FC this weekend. We're going to talk all about that, but we've got a couple other things to talk about. First, this is Aaron once again. John and Peter is back with us, back because he was offended at some of our hot takes last weekend. He thought, I have to get back into the studio. These guys can't handle it on their own. He's absolutely right. Let's start, John. Let's start with the Oakland Soul. You published on the blog this week, and I encourage everyone to go read this, an exclusive interview with the new Oakland Soul head coach, just announced. Give us the rundown of Oakland Soul's new coach.
Yeah, her name's Jessica Clinton. Spent nearly 8 years at Fordham University, which is in the Atlantic 10 Conference, against my alma mater, UMass. But she also played at Boston University as a goalkeeper there, and finished her collegiate coaching career back at Boston University as their associate head coach. Prior to arriving at Fordham, she was a assistant coach at Boston University for like 5 years, developed some good talent like NWSL player Kylie Strom, also developed some NWSL talent at Fordham, blanking on the name, but a couple other players, one Haiti national player, another girl who plays WPSL on the East Coast. So some track record of developing talent. I mean, the big thing with the W League is going to be developing those athletes that are right around the age of people she was just working with over in the East Coast. So she's going to be working with student athletes at the collegiate level, student athletes at the high school level, and the club level. So she's coming over here to the West Coast, which is a much larger hotbed for soccer than over there on the East Coast. As she described, you know, people are inside due to the snow over there right now. So we're dealing with the rain, but hey, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think Noah Delgado played for a couple of seasons in upstate New York during his professional career, so I'm sure he can sympathize with that. I can't imagine. He played one season, I think, in Rochester and one in Syracuse, and it just sounds like soccer in the snow sounds like something that's much cooler in theory than in reality.
Right. Well, her wife is from Clayton, so they moved back now, back to the West Coast, back to the Bay Area. So it's a big opportunity for her. It's obviously the inaugural job for a new team is, you know, carries a lot of weight to it. You know, you're putting those pieces in the puzzle that will hopefully be around for the next 2, 3 years, 4 years, you know, for some of these athletes, because, you know, one interesting takeaway, especially from Jordan Farrell's interview at Media Day, was given a 2-year timeline for Oakland Soul to get to the Super League. So, you know, we still haven't heard much about the Super League, when it's going to start, you know, things that are concrete details.
Well, hold on. Let's before we go. So when you say Super League, right? Super League means what?
Not the one in Europe.
Yeah. 2 years for the Oakland Soul to be competing with Bayern Munich, the men.
Exactly. Perfect. Exactly. PSG, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting. You know, we still don't know who all will be in the Super League, what the level of play is going to be. But, I mean, if it's these D1 talented kids, I mean, this is – I think people are going to really undervalue and underrate just the quality of soccer that's going to be on the field in the W League and then into the Super League. You know, that's you know, soccer here on the West Coast, especially at the collegiate level, you know, these girls are real. You know, they
Well, I certainly didn't think they were fake. I'm going to be honest. No, I mean, they were flesh and blood.
It's going to be a high level of soccer that, you know, some of these people, even on Roots, you know, they couldn't get onto the collegiate teams that some of these girls will be coming from. You know, it's going to be a really high level of quality, I think. So it's going to be exciting.
Super League is the women's professional equivalent of what the Roots are. The league the Roots are in.
Mm-hmm. It's going to
the
be
W League is probably semi-pro,
mm-hmm.
amateur.
That's the exact thing. It's a pre-professional league. I mean, that's even on their webpage, the W League's webpage. So it's that pre, as in, you know, the Super League would be USL Championship. The W League would be like League One. So hopefully this is USL's competition for NWSL.
And you had said we're basically, as far as filling out the roster goes, I mean, and this makes sense in a pre-professional context, a semi-professional context. You're talking about college kids from the area, maybe some really talented high schoolers. I got to say, I was mildly offended that she referred to the retireds in your interview as those over the age of 23. I didn't need that energy in my life today, but here we are. But essentially, we're talking high school and college kids. That's the rundown.
Exactly. From what the feedback I've got from the club is, it's going to be predominantly student athletes from West Coast, not just West, Northern California schools. Maybe one or two here from maybe out of state that are just living in the Bay Area before they go back to college. But it'll be, you know, kids from Cal, Stanford, UC Davis, Santa Clara, you know, Eric Yamamoto, Roots VP of soccer, is, you know, a big part of the Santa Clara program. So you could best be sure we're going to get some Santa Clara kids on this team. You know, a lot of student athletes at the club level who play out in La Mirinda and Danville, things like that. Farrell mentioned La Mirinda national team player who I know personally, so I'm very excited. I hope it's who I think it is and they get the deal done. But yeah, it'll be a good level of athletes.
Got to move relatively quickly, right? I mean, this season starts in less than 2 months.
Oh yeah, it's going to be coming together in batches, I'm sure, you know, just groups of announcements. It's going to be happening. My impression is they've been already doing legwork, you know, well before Jessica's arrival, even probably before they even posted the job, which was, I think, in December, November. So, I mean, I think they've had their hand on the pulse here for in the local soccer market. And evaluating the talent. So now it's going to come all together quickly.
Very cool. So you talked with this coach at Media Day. You talked with some other people at Media Day. John, give me just moving on from the soul, give me your biggest takeaways from a Roots perspective coming out of Media Day.
Biggest takeaways. I mean, it's a new team. You know, I think talking to Noah is refreshing because he gave so much more about how Roots will look and operate in 2023 as compared to his predecessor, who was just a lot of filler words in his speeches. But you know, Noah is of less words. I think my interview with Juan in the 2022 Media Day was like a half hour. My interview with Noah was half that, and I feel like I got so much more. So, you know, he described how they're going to look. They want to possess the ball. They want to attack. They want to control and use their speed with Rito and Trayvon Reed and Pelize. So, I mean, he really describe that, you know, they want them to also have versatility in dropping into multiple systems in the match, you know, hopefully that doesn't overburden them. You know, focus on, I've always believed, just get one thing really, really right and then worry about the other things after. So we'll see how this looks early on, right?
It's interesting, right? When you're good at one thing and you're successful, it's because you set everyone up to succeed, right? But when you're not successful, it's because you're too rigid. When you want to do a variety of looks on offense and defense, you know, in basketball, they'd say, you're multiple on defense. Mm-hmm. You're very fluid with your positioning. Mm-hmm. You know, when you succeed, it's because it's beautiful and it's playing to every player's strength. And when you're not succeeding, it's no one has any idea what to do. There are no defined roles. So it's a tough balance to walk, but they have been putting together a really interesting squad, mm-hmm. which doesn't look much like what last year's did. And to be fair, last year's didn't look much like the year before either. So I think that's the nature of the game in the USL. But it's good to know that Delgado has got a vision, right? Because one of the things I think we kind of wondered, right? He has a vision, but he spent the last 8 games of last season sort of executing what Guetta had put into place before he left out the back door for Phoenix. So I think a lot of us are sort of wondering how much is going to carry over despite the roster turnover. And I think it's nice to hear that one of your biggest takeaways is that we got big plans here, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there will be a quickly formed identity where kind of last year, they kind of had to build into that, you know, possessive identity and taking chances, a lot of chances in a short amount of time. You know, it definitely took after 6 games, you know, so hopefully we see that more quickly. I think we're going to see, you know, what stands out to me especially is the passing ability of the defenders that we've added in Hackshaw and Tamakis. I don't think we'll get Tamakis very immediately, you know. I think it's going to take some time with his paperwork as well. But, I mean, we're seeing that is a common trend, not just with Roots, all over the league.
So I'll just back up for a second. What you're referring to there is the fact that international players need clearance, not just from the league, but the federal government. As we all watched sort of the roster get built over the course of the first few weeks last year. Sounds like we're in for much the same. You mentioned Tamakis is not here. I think on the last pod, we said there's 7 international signings on the squad, or at least 7 signings that take up international slots, which I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, rough rule of thumb here, if you have citizenship or a green card, you're not an international signing for purposes of the USL. So it's mm-hmm. 7 guys who basically need a visa. So mm-hmm. it's visa processing. So we know Peláez is here. We know Tamakis is not yet here. What about the other 5?
Kevin Wright is not here. He was not at Media Day.
Formella? He's presumably here.
Yeah, Formella was there. The only people who weren't there were Kevin Wright and Tamakis.
Those Hackshaw?
And Hackshaw, sorry.
Okay.
Hackshaw, Tamakis, and Kevin Wright.
All right, so 3 defenders. That's a good place. That's the place you want to be at the beginning of the season. Have a bunch of your fancy defensive signings not there on day one.
Yeah, presumably our starting left-sided center back and starting right-sided center back.
It's the first game of the season. As you mentioned, a lot of teams are kind of in the same boat of trying to get guys through the door, get paperwork signed off. A lot of people are trickling in and a lot of rosters are going to take shape over the course of the season. And we've kind of been talking about this before, but this is probably the ideal time to take on San Antonio FC, the defending champion. They took out Oakland last year. As you know, of course, you have to beat Oakland to win the USL Cup. That's just how it goes. So I think most of the league should be rooting for us to be in the playoffs this year because there's no better way to know.
Well, you can't win without us.
Can't win without us. That's
right. It would just be a draw for the final, I guess. An endless penalty shootout until the sun swallows the earth.
Joe Buck would be commentating. So we were actually taking a look at the San Antonio FC rosters we were preparing for this pod. And if you go on their website, they have 11 players listed as part of the roster, which is enough to play a game. It's a bit of a risk to go into a game without more than 11. But we know there are some on the roster not listed on the website. So, as a for instance, they have added over the in the offseason, they added Juan Carlos Azucar. So there's a chance that we could see him. And you might recall that San Antonio also played with a back three system, sort of a 3-4-3. So he'll slot right into what they do. At the same time, it's also worth noting that they bring back a lot of their most important contributors. Mitch Tainer, Justin Dillon, Jordan Farr, PC, Carter Manley. I mean, this team was loaded last year. A lot of the reason they're loaded is back. I said to Peter as we were watching the playoff game at which brewery was that?
Line 51.
Line 51. Thank you. That watching San Antonio is a lot like watching the Alabama Crimson Tide football team from the last few years. Like, you're going to get some opportunities, but you have to make every single one of them count because they're just slowly going to squeeze the life out of you. And there's nothing you can do about it until the last couple of years, but that's beside the point.
I'm pretty sure, I mean, this is a sort of preview of my preview blog post, but of the 11 starters from the playoff game, San Antonio is returning 7 of them.
Which is a pretty remarkable amount of continuity for this league, especially. Fortunately, one of the ones they're not returning is Santiago Patino. Did Sam Adeniran start in the playoff game? Because he's another player that will not be coming back this year. I don't remember if he started or came off the bench, but I know he played an important role in the team last year. So
Adeniran started, and he was the Roots killer. I think he scored in every game he ever appeared against Roots.
Adeniran scored in the 5th minute of our in-season loss to San Antonio, and he scored in the 2nd minute of the playoff game. And then Patino scored twice, one of them is assisted by Sam Adeniran. So, he's on.
That is brutal.
He plays for St. Louis in MLS now, and he is someone else's problem.
San Jose's, maybe. San Antonio has announced some other signings. They most recently announced, and this is sort of blew my mind. They announced a 25-day contract for Lamar Bautista, who last year played for the Fighting Jamie Vardys up in the aforementioned Rochester, New York area. Who else have they added? They have Michael Edwards reportedly on loan, I think, from the Colorado Rapids. This guy got so much time with the Rapids that on the website for the Colorado Rapids, under player details, one of the details you get on an MLS website is preferred side. His is unknown, which is, I think, pretty solid evidence that he didn't get a lot of, not a lot of data to work with. Another player that they have announced they've signed is Ja'Cory Hayes. Possibly also a loan from an MLS side. He played for Minnesota United last year, but was let go at the end of the year. He is listed on the MLS website still as suffering from a season-ending injury. He reportedly broke his leg in a preseason friendly. So whether he's good to go is up in the air. This is not a full roster that we've talked about either. They seem to be short of a full complement of players. You just need 18, and really you just need 15. And they probably have that. But our impression is that signing a guy right before the season starts to a 25-day contract is possible evidence that your roster is not quite there yet. So this seems like maybe the best time to get San Antonio.
The problem, I would think, is that it's the best time to face San Antonio if you want to hold them to no goals. But like you said, their defensive midfielder, Abu, their holding midfielder, PC, And then their back line, Manley, Mahoney, and Tainer are all back. So, like, maybe this is the best time for the Roots to fight them to a 0-0 draw. But I don't know if we can go in and say that their lack of organization right now is going to, you know, turn into a goals fest for the Roots.
You know, as long as the game is more competitive than some of the contests last year. Go ahead.
I was just looking into the games from last year. The Roots mustered 8 shots on target against San Antonio. Total. 270 minutes of soccer. No. Yes. 270 minutes of soccer. 8 shots on target. Which isn't great. You would prefer to see it be otherwise. The Roots did have 70% possession in the playoff game, which is so painful in a 3-0 loss. It's like San Antonio holding them down and saying, stop hitting yourself.
It's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah.
This is a pretty good team.
In the 2-0 loss at home, the Roots also had 64% possession. And, you know, that's not that bad. It's really hard to know what to read into the performances from last year because, you know, the Roots are really only returning their number 10, their center backs, and their wing backs. And even then, not really, because Memo didn't mostly play last year. So, but I think the fundamental problem is that there's no real reason to think that San Antonio is going to be any worse.
John, how are you feeling about this? About this
match? I mean, you guys kind of...
I know you're going to predict a win, but...
Of course I'm predicting a win. Am I convinced of that? No. No, I mean, it's hard to feel any type of confidence going against San Antonio, but I'm happy, you know, we're not going against Adeniran. To your guys' points, you know, Patino as well. It's the best time to get him. Arguably, you know, vice versa. It might be the best time to get Roots when you're not having Hackshaw and Tamakis in your back line. And Kevin Wright as well. So, I mean, it all tells me a painful 0-0 draw or like a 1-0 win for either side. I'll be happy with a goal. You know, I'll be happy I'm not sure if we see Pelaez, but I mean, I know he's here. Guy, you know, I'm going to assume he's in shape and ready to play. So I hope we see him and I hope he gives us, you know, something to feel confident about. You know, that's really just all I'm hoping for is give us something positive to look forward to. You know, it's the worst week one matchup you can arguably get, but it's a fresh slate for everybody. So hopefully we see some productivity, especially out the attacking players.
My guess is that we see Pelaez and that we see Reed and both of them off the bench. I bet that we see Formello, Mafeca, Rodriguez as our front three in this game to start. Mm-hmm. I am not predicting a draw or a Roots win. I am predicting a 2-0 loss, and I'm sorry, and I apologize to everyone listening to this program.
Oh, well, that's okay. One other note, if you're curious, the ref assigned to this match is Matthew Thompson, and the Roots saw him once last year. It was the 3-1 loss against Pittsburgh Riverhounds at the end of the season. No cards were shown in that match, and Pittsburgh were whistled for 7 more fouls than Oakland. So,
was Hernandez on the bench?
That's a good question. No, he was not. And he was not whistled for a foul, according to FB Ref.
Wow.
If you can believe it.
Huge.
That's wild. All right. So John Peter has given us his prediction. Are you going with 1-1?
I'm going 1-0 Roots, baby. 1-0. Come on now.
Damn. I'll go with the 1-1. It's so hard. This is such a good team. It's just San Antonio that is. They're so good. It's so hard to see a way through when you know that the Roots are not going to be firing on all cylinders because some guys who are expected to be key contributors either are not here or haven't been here for very long. And mm-hmm. and we know they can, you know, there was a draw last year at San Antonio. I think that was a great result. And for a team that's probably still coming together, I think that is a good result, right? I think Peter makes a good point. As influx of the San Antonio roster is, it's one thing to start from essentially scratch. It's another thing to have to find four new guys to fit on what was one of the best 11s in the league, right? And that's where you want to be. I think that's where the Roots will get eventually, but it's not where they are right now. And I think, you know, Harry, when we had him on the San Antonio FC superfan at Ramen Call on the Twitters, on the Bird app, you know, he described San Antonio as having, I think it was either borderline MLS talent or just below MLS talent. And that's absolutely true. It really is. So, I'm gonna predict a really halting 1-1 draw that shows that the season has just started. Basically, you know, the other thing that's nice, it's want to play at Laney, but man, it's really good we're playing in San Antonio right now. Given what the weather is supposed to look like this weekend, I sort of wonder if that field would even be playable with this amount of precipitation.
Oh no way.
I feel like it's like a good situation for the immediate result for the Roots and a very bad situation for like anyone getting out of there with a hamstring.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All soft tissue would be at risk, I think, on that. It would be bad. But we're going to brave the rain. And where are we watching this match, fellas?
Old Can.
We are thumbing our noses at the Roots preferred pub partners or whatever and going to Old Can.
La Santa Torta, man. You can't go wrong there.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. That's what I'm there for.
Do you guys have any hot takes about this season, even Roots or other teams?
Big prediction for the season. Here's mine. I think that the Roots are going to be in the mix for a home playoff spot until the last two or three weeks of the season, and will just miss out on it. And then obviously they'll go away on the first round of the playoffs and get their upset for sure.
Peter?
Yeah. So there's eight teams make the playoffs in the conference, and the Western Conference has San Antonio, who are going to finish ahead of us, Phoenix, Sacramento, El Paso, and San Diego, who are all, the money says they should finish ahead of us. That takes the Roots out of a home playoff berth and has them fighting with Monterey, New Mexico, RGV, and Orange County.
Yeah, a lot of chatter around Monterey this offseason. I don't know if I buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from there. And I don't know. I guess I'm buying the hype in part to be contrarian towards you.
My hot take is I'm not buying the overhype on Monterey either. My hot take will be, I think Roots finish above Monterey, wherever that is. I just, you know,
top 11.
I mean, Roots are going to finish
somewhere in the top 11.
I get that, you know, retaining talent is big, but I just don't see, you know, where the hype is. You know, one of their marquee additions, Alex Dixon, is a 33-year-old winger on his fourth or fifth team in the USL. You know, I just don't see it, but you know, I'm wrong on these things.
Yeah. And I think that we just don't know. I think we need Pelias to be good. Mm-hmm. I think if he is not good, we're in real trouble.
I think also Trayvon Reed, too, you could throw in there.
I think that specifically, though, we just need a nine. Because, you know, I think that there's every reason to be optimistic that our defense and midfield will be good. I think the downside of our midfield is that it'll be uninspiring. You know, we signed 7 defensive midfielders or something, which may not be fun to watch. But it could really get results. And I mean, I think that Tomakas and Hackshaw are good signings. Mm-hmm. But I think that the threat, I think if this season goes badly for the Roots, it will not involve them scoring a lot of goals, but giving up more. I think it'll involve them never scoring. Mm-hmm.
So last week we gave our breakout players. Who's your breakout player, Peter?
Okay, what does breakout mean? Does it need... So, I mean, like, could I consider Tomakas a breakout player, or does he not count because he's already a captain or national?
Yeah, he doesn't count.
I don't think he counts. I think he's an expected difference maker. Kind of players who are flying under the radar, so to speak.
Well, I mean, I thought it was really interesting that Paul Blanchett called out Trayvon Reed as a player he's been impressed by. And so I'm going to say Reed on that basis. You know, I assume that Blanchett is facing the shots that Reed is unleashing. And if he's telling me to watch Reed, I'm going to watch Reed.
Yeah, I like Reed. I think that was my call last episode, too. I mean, from what we've been told about him is he is, quote unquote, faster than Rito. So take with that what you will. We'll find out.
It's like Marvel.
I'd love to have him race, but I don't want any injuries to happen. You know, we'll just eyeball it on the field.
Yeah, you can tell Tommy I don't believe him.
I think you just did, bud. All right, so there we have it. We have our preview coming up soon, and then we'll see you at Old Can, hopefully this weekend, and until Saturday, up the Roots.